that might get us to the point where there is some proper structure there that will allow the questions of the past to be asked and answered.
Yeah, but this is the important thing, Brian. You can ask all the questions you like, but when you see Evelyn Glenholmes and you see Winky and you see the Chief Constable, you think to yourself, well, like, will Evelyn Glenholmes ever really tell the truth about what went on in Republican circles? Will, you know, will the Loyalist representative ever really say what his friends were up to in Loyalist quarters? And the Chief Constable, whether they use the argument of national security or they simply don't want to tell the truth, will we ever get to the bottom of what the three main factors in this crisis that we call the Troubles actually served up?
Well, the simple answer to that question is no. There won't be absolute truth from any side, never mind all of the sides. And one of the questions being asked last night was what is a realistic expectation in terms of the information that that will eventually emerge. Can you, for instance, have two processes running beside each other, investigation and information recovery? Will people engage in an information recovery process if they still think there is the prospect of being arrested, questioned, potentially charged and convicted? And I think it is wrong at the moment to narrow this conversation down to this battle over national security. We are nowhere near the point where we know what the IRA and Loyalist contributions to this process will be. In fact, we're having a political discussion, a political negotiation about the past with the Loyalists outside the door. So I think you can't work out how the past is going to be addressed unless you have everyone involved. I think it's vitally important that Loyalists are involved in this conversation, which is why Winston Irvine was asked to sit on last night's panel. You know, I think it is an indication of how far we've travelled that we can have a panel that includes the Chief Constable, Evelyn Glenholmes from her Republican background, Winston Irvine from his Loyalist background. And within the audience last night, there were senior police officers, there were senior Republicans, there were senior Loyalists, but there were also people, including Emer McVeigh, the niece of Columba McVeigh, in the audience. And, you know, I read to that event last night a couple of things that Emer wrote in her contribution.
Columba being one of the disappeared.
Of course, and still to be found. Now, I, Frank, in my reporting period at the BBC, would have taken and noted every IRA briefing on the disappeared. And it was all offered in kind of mechanical, unemotional language about special units, investigations, executions. And we fall into this language and this dictionary of the conflict period, you know, when we talk about the troubles, the conflict, the past, the disappeared, and those things actually mean not very much. And it's when Emer wrote her contribution for the book that the story and what the story of the disappeared meant really come home to me. She wrote about her grandmother crying in front of this photograph of her son every day. And she asked these questions. Why was my grandmother allowed to live in limbo like that for so long? Why was her son not returned to her? What kind of society lets their citizens painfully wilt away like that? And why, after 40 years, does the torment still continue for Columba's siblings? Now, those questions are not questions about national security. Those are questions for the IRA and for Republicans to answer. So the purpose of these conversations, when you bring people into the room, when you have them on a panel, when you have them in an audience, is to explore possible ways forward. What can be done? What can be worked out? And I think it's important, Frank, that people, as we think about how to address the past, that we hear from all of the relevant sides, not just about what is achievable, but what is not going to be delivered in an information process, because I think victims have been led up the garden path in terms of what can be expected if we do get to the point of a legacy structure being in place and what information will be delivered within that process.
Critics will say, of course, the more platforms you give these people, the more they can justify their existence at the time.
Well, I didn't hear anyone last night trying to justify what had happened. I heard a conversation which was about exploring the past, trying to bring forward answers. And of course, many of those answers will not be good enough for people who are asking those questions. Certainly, there was an element of that conversation last night that was about, if you're going to address the past, its principal purpose should be to ensure that what happened never happens again. I've talked about the need for loyalists to be involved in this conversation. When you open doors and you bring people into these rooms, that brings possibility, Frank, but it also brings responsibility. You talk about it being a platform to justify. Other people will see it as a platform where questions can be asked of those who sit on these panels. Now, I think unless you get an agreement among governments, the policing leadership, the Republican and Loyalist leadership about what is achievable, then this process is going nowhere. And one of the things I suggested last night was that those different people representing those different leaderships should go away before the next political negotiation after the election and try to work out what is realistically achievable in this process, how it will be delivered, how questions will be answered. I think much of that will happen privately, Frank, rather than out in the open, and then bring forward proposals that would assist the next political negotiation. So let's see if beyond last night, those smaller, more detailed conversations begin to happen with all of those who need to be involved inside the room and not outside the room, because unless you have everyone involved, Frank, this is going nowhere.
Brian, with all your investigations that you've carried out over the years, all the reporting you've done, all the research and the writing and the setting up, indeed, of, I was going to say talk shops like this, but that's maybe a demeaning term, platforms like this, all the experience you have of interacting with the players, would it surprise you, maybe I should say, would it shock you if we did discover in the future that the RUC knew that the Shankill attack was being planned?
Well, I'm at the point now where nothing would shock me, Frank. You know, I'm not going to fall off the sofa. If I hear something, that many people would have, thought many years ago just wasn't possible. Look at the story that's developing around the agent with the codename Steak Knife, an investigation into could be up to 40-plus killings. You know, if you'd have suggested that, 10 years ago, that an agent would be investigated on that type of activity, many people would have dismissed it. Now the story has emerged in the Irish News. Alison Morris has written the story. She said that the IRA commander who planned the Shankill bomb was a police informant who had told his handlers of the plan to blow up Frizzell's fish shop in 1993. That is now being investigated by the Ombudsman. I wrote a piece on the UTV website yesterday saying that the police should immediately respond to what was being reported. George Hamilton spoke last night before the event at Queen's and within the event at Queen's, saying that he was 100% convinced that the police service at the time had no knowledge that could have prevented the Shankill bomb. He set those comments in the context of a police ombudsman investigation still to take place. I think many people will wait for the outcome of that before they make up their minds about all of this. Is it possible that the IRA identified an agent in the documentation that it stole from Castlereagh? I think that's entirely possible. But there has been no suggestion up to now that they have had in their possession the fine detail of contact between agents and their special branch handlers. what was taken out of Castlereagh at the time of the robbery, Frank, was an alphabetical list of special branch officers and their telephone numbers, a coded list of agents and their police handlers, and a log of addresses of interest, which would have included the homes of many loyalists and Republicans. But this report has emerged. It is now in the hands of the police ombudsman. The chief constable has given an initial response to one aspect of what has been reported. Are the police ever going to confirm that Mr. A or Mr. B is a police agent? No, they're not going to do that. But on that specific point that there may have been prior knowledge, George Hamilton has given that initial response, and it's now over to the police ombudsman. Will that ombudsman investigation stand up what George Hamilton said last night, or will it raise further questions? And that's something we won't know until we get to the point of that investigation being completed.
As they often say, Brian, truth is stranger than fiction. You couldn't make the stuff up, so you couldn't.
Well, you know, I think of stuff that we have reported in recent times, and you know, it is spy thriller stuff, Frank. But and the point then that you know, to go back to what you were saying to me earlier in the interview, are we ever going to get to the full truth of what happened here? No, we're not. I think much of that truth is so ugly that it will not be allowed to be shoveled to the surface. And that's why I think there needs to be this working out among all of those who have a contribution to make to a process on the past about what is realistically achievable, what is not going to be delivered. I think that type of conversation needs international facilitation. And I think we need to know what the likely contributions are going to be before we start to put in place historical investigations units, the Independent Commission for Information Retrieval, the Implementation and Reconciliation Group. I think if we put those bodies in place, not knowing what realistically they can deliver, then they could turn out to be, Frank, a waste of time. So I think it's best that people know exactly what is possible, and then people can make their minds up about whether or not that process is worthwhile.
Okay, Brian, thanks for your time this morning.
You're
thank
welcome,
you.
Frank. You're welcome.
The writer Brian Rowan, An Unfinished Piece, is the book that Brian made a reference to a short time ago. It's a recent publication from Brian himself. Right, and so many contributors. You should have a look at it, actually. Many of the players there that he referred to, and a host of other people, basically writing essays within the book and answering many questions that Brian put to them.